Welcome back to all of you as we begin this new academic year as faculty and staff together in the Lord's house. We've selected a reading today from St. Paul's letter to the saints in Ephesus, the fifth chapter and select verses. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. If you ever have a chance, I would encourage you to tour what is called Mammoth Cave National Park in central Kentucky. Maybe some of you have been there. It's really quite an experience to go deep inside of this cavernous room built into the earth. It's roughly the size of our newest gymnasium. And I remember standing in there with our tour guide, and he shut off all of the lights and had it get as dark as possible, and waited for about a minute and a half so your eyes would totally adjust down to the darkness. And then he was standing up on a little ledge and he lit a candle. And it was amazing how much you could see from that little flame. Just after about 10, 15 seconds, the face of everybody in our group, which was about 30 or 40 people. It's just amazing how much that little flame shone through in the darkness. The theme of darkness and light is a common motif throughout Scripture. We minimize what it's about if we think of it only in terms of good and evil, of sin and goodness. It's much deeper and more than that. It's a much richer motif and theme in Scripture than that. It really is describing the difference between a life and world and perspective of unbelief and that which now has been illumined by God's grace through His Word to see and understand who Christ is and what this means for us in our eternal life. St. Paul is telling us that by God's grace to us in Christ, we have now been qualified as what he calls saints of light. He says, "You were once darkness." Scripture is often reminding us of that condition that we were born with into this world and where we've come from, you might say, spiritually. We actually at one time belonged to the kingdom of darkness. To really grasp what that means, that we belonged to the hold of the devil, of Satan and all of his powers. One of the signs of being in darkness is that you don't care about the light, and you don't get or understand or even want to seem to know about it. You seem to have no reason to think you'd need a savior. Thoughts about God and thoughts about getting ready for eternity seem irrelevant. What's the big deal about all of this? That's what darkness does to a person's soul. As a little boy growing up in a little town in Iowa, there was a boy that lived about probably 3-4 blocks from me who I had been told had born blind. And I remember a lot of us children trying to imagine what that was like. Maybe you knew someone like that, and as a child, you'd maybe blindfold yourself to try to envision what would it be like to actually live in that kind of darkness and to be born blind. Occasionally, we'll hear stories about children who were born blind and yet by surgical operations on their eyes are now able to see. And I always thought, what an amazing transformation that must be for a child to suddenly be able to see this world that he or she has only been able to hear prior to that. And then imagine one of those children who's now been given sight to go and playing the game of being blind again, to try to realize what he or she has come from. When God, through his holy word, has shined into our hearts to illuminate the sin that we have and show us the need we have for our Savior, and then brings us to the cross to show us what our Lord has done for us, and that by his death there has forgiven us every one of our sins, has washed us clean in God's sight and made us holy saints, so that we now have the future of heaven in front of us by faith in him. When that takes place, we can only imagine what it would be like to go back and to be living in the darkness once again. And it makes us realize what a tremendous gift and blessing this is from our gracious God, who has brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light, the way St. Peter writes to the believers in his day. Whenever I observe a baptism of a little child, I just wait for that line where the pastor says to that tiny baby these words, "God has called you to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints of light." Just think of what's taking place there. Because it's an invisible thing, we maybe kind of lose sight of what a fantastic thing this is. That God is transferring this human being and his or her future and everything about them into his marvelous kingdom of grace through this silly little act the world thinks of water in God's word. But what a tremendous transformation the scripture tells us takes place there. And to those who have been brought to faith, now Saint Paul writes and says, "You are light in the Lord." And notice something there. He doesn't say you will be light in the Lord. He doesn't say there's a chance that you could grow into that someday, or you have the potential for that, but you are. You presently, right now, even with your weaknesses and with your doubts and with your fears and all of that, but through faith in Christ, even if your faith in him is tiny and small, you are light in the Lord. The great irony is that those who are truly light in the Lord are often concerned about whether they're still in darkness. They're concerned about the darkness that creeps back into their lives and into their souls and into their consciences, and they're troubled by that. But if you're concerned about all of that, and if you're concerned about that pressure of darkness from our world and from your own sinful heart like mine that pressures on you in your spiritual life, that's a healthy sign that you are actually in the light. Only the light of God's grace in Christ permits us to see and recognize that great danger. But we need to understand this as well. As soon as a person sides with Christ and with his kingdom of light and with his saints, he then also breaks his peace with the world and with Satan, and now becomes the target of the powers of darkness. We must not be surprised that there is a pressure on us to give up this light, that there is a pressure on us to forsake our Savior and not listen to his word. The darkness always wants to swallow up the light. That's just the way it is in this world. And so as saints of light, we live and work with this darkness all around us. Faculty members, as we prepare for our classes, as we think about the various areas in which we teach and the subjects that we deal with issues of darkness all the time in every one of our disciplines. God has blessed us through his word and through the gift of the Holy Spirit and faith in Christ. God has blessed us to be given an understanding to see things in a different light. And that illumination comes down to us from above. And it changes how we look at the world from how the world looks at the world. It changes how we view our own lives and how we view the students that sit in front of us. It's amazing that the Bible has something to say about every one of the disciplines that are taught in the classrooms on this campus. And it has the potential to taint everything that we teach. And we do that intentionally here at this school. I just love conversations that I get to have with students, and I'm sure some of you have had these as well. When I hear about, I expect to know and hear that they're having the the gospel of God's truth and the word of God shining forth in their religion classes. That one I take for granted. But I love to hear that it's coming through in other disciplines and in other areas. And when I hear that even in conversations with staff members and people that work on the grounds or in the custodial staff or people that work in the cafeteria or people that are secretaries and admissions and all of that, and other areas in the various studies that go on this campus, when students talk about conversations and things that they have where the light of God's truth is shining through even there, what a fantastic thing that is. And what a special institution this then has become by God's grace. The candle of God's truth and the light of Christ is carried throughout all those areas of study. It's wonderful for us to be able to take into our classrooms the thought, well, how does all of this ultimately relate back to the most important issues of life from God's perspective? Ultimately, how does all of this relate back to our Savior? How does all of this ultimately relate back to the fact that we're going to die someday and that we have an eternal home waiting for us? And that's really what counts, and that's really what matters. When that candle of God's light of His truth comes through and causes us to look at our subjects from that perspective, what a blessing. A number of years ago, I was teaching in a large classroom that seated about 150 students. There were only about 20 students in it. It's a large classroom on the campus of Boston University. I was there for a youth gathering for our church body, a Lutheran Youth Association gathering. And I was teaching this small group of high school kids, maybe 20, 25 of them. I got there about a half hour early, and I just walked around this big, enormous classroom. There were things posted on the wall. There were some books in bookcases here and there. And I just started looking around, and I imagined all of the probably hundreds of thousands of students that had gone through and sat in those seats over the past probably 40 or 50 years since that building had been built. And I'm sure some of them were Christian. And I'm sure some of the professors who stood and taught there were Christian, but you could tell by what was on the wall and the books that were in there that the predominant theme in that classroom was darkness, was viewing the world blindly. And here was this tiny little fledgling group of 20 or 25 humble believing children wanting to hear the word of God and being enlightened with the grace of God. Bethany Lutheran College is a dinky, tiny little institution. It is completely insignificant in the world of academia. But our size may seem insignificant, but it doesn't diminish the task that we have of dispensing the light of the gospel to our students. And just like that tiny little candle in the darkness of that cave, may we never underestimate how God may utilize the gifts of His saints of light as we help guide and lead the students of this campus and ourselves to the home of light. Amen.